The great contest in prayer or for prayer. To start off with this morning, I want to give you a couple of verses from Psalm 148. I believe the Lord inspired this to us this morning. I've enlisted in the service. The verse 1 says, I am fighting in the army of the Lord. And though dangers thickly round my pathway lie, I shall never faint or fear. For my Jesus is so near, I've enlisted in the service till I die. Often do I meet with Satan by the way, and his fiery darts so thickly round me fly. When the shield of faith he sees, then he always quickly flees. I've enlisted in the service till I die. And the chorus says, I will press the battle on till the victory is won. And I reach my crown and mansion by and by. By the grace of God I know I shall conquer every foe. I've enlisted in the service till I die. So I believe every one of us can see that phrase of being enlisted in the army till I die. It ends in all of the verses and in the chorus as well. And what I am inspired with concerning that phrase is determination. Determination must be our very core of our foundation if we hope to make heaven. Steadfastness is a strong ingredient in living for the Lord. I believe that we are all familiar with the scripture that says that we're running in a race and only one wins the prize. And simply said, we could say we are in a great contest. A contest, a spiritual contest, speaks of rivalry, opposition or opposing powers, and competition. There's much in competition with you and me today. There's been times that in our prayers, as we pray for the leaders of our land, we might say these words, for the Lord to awaken them in the night when there is nothing to be in competition with your voice. And yet, even in the night, there are words that are in competition. If you've ever awakened in the night and your mind starts running, it's hard to get it to stop. I had one of those nights last night. So today we are in a great contest. But I believe it starts with our walk with the Lord. Our determination, our zeal. And we also thought of another song, My soul be on thy guard. 10,000 foes arise to draw thee from the skies. We're in a time of foes that will draw us from our thoughts, from our actions, from our purpose. It seems as though it takes a greater effort to concentrate I believe it takes a greater effort to concentrate even when we're sitting in service. Even when the message is going forth, I believe it takes more strength of mind to not dwell on the things that I may face tomorrow or I faced yesterday. There are many things that can distract us every day. Not just in our walk with the Lord, but just in our prayers. We'll refer to that. I know that we have all heard many messages down through our life that we are in a spiritual warfare. That's not new. If anything, the spiritual warfare is increasing. I believe that that as time draws near to the coming of the Lord, that we're going to experience greater pressures, greater opposing powers. We will have to put forth even more effort to be able to seek the Lord in faith. We need our faith and our prayers to blend together. But there is an opposing power even to faith. And then there is opposing power to even our prayers. I believe we've heard messages about fighting battles. I know you're familiar with fighting battles. I know that you are familiar with needing to have the armor of the Lord. You can take that chapter, those verses, and use them in your devotions, and it will benefit you. And maybe after a little time, that will slip from your mind as well. How that you need the helmet of salvation. How that you need to be shod with the gospel. All of the armor is so important to you and me today, and we need to be reminded of taking on the whole armor of God. And I believe that we're all familiar with the scripture that tells us we've heard messages, we've been exhorted, endure hardness as a good soldier. Sometimes do we forget that we are to be soldiers? Spiritual soldiers. We live our life. We get up in the morning. We go to our jobs. And we get distracted even with our jobs. That's not bad. You need your jobs. You need to be able to concentrate on your jobs. But oh, how we need to keep in our mind that I need something that will be a determination to supersede all of the cares of life. So the bottom line is going to be determination, and we want to blend that into how we pray. In Luke, the 14th chapter, verses 28 through 30, it has a scripture that says, "Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice because I said, I go to my Father, for my Father is greater than I." I'm in the 14th, I'm sorry. Need to turn the page, I think. I want the scripture that says, I'm in John. That's why it's not the same. I'm sorry. I need in Luke. Luke 14 and 28. There it is. "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. I believe that that's where we're going to connect our determination. When you and I decide that we are going to go this way and we're going to take up our cross and we're going to never give up, it's going to have a firm decision and purpose. Because the contest will be there over and over. The temptations, the world, whatever might be a weakness in our life is going to be there. The enemy will use it to attack us. The song said the fiery darts are all around us. That's what he will use to try to affect our determination. Determination is that firmness of purpose or the steadfast decision. And to voluntarily enlist in the service, no one is forcing you or me to enlist. It's our personal choice. When we come to the Lord and we seek after him, because don't you know that you have to be the one to seek after him? He will seek after you, but he will not chase you. He will seek you, and it will be your response, or you responding to him seeking you. But you will have to yearn for him with your whole heart. He said in one place that if you seek me with your whole heart, you will find me. So the Lord is still, his arms are, we had a message not long ago, his arms are outstretched still to every soul on the face of the earth. But I believe that his arms are really outstretched to you and me. He knoweth the time. He's the only one that does know the day and the hour. Satan himself knows his time is short. He is also working. So we have our masters. You can only serve one master, but they're working. God is working for you. Satan is working against you. There is a scripture in Isaiah 50:7. It says this, "For the Lord God will help me." Oh, I want to tell you, it's so good when we can have confidence that God is going to help us. To believe it, to have faith and confidence. God, the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be confounded. Therefore, have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Now this phrase, setting your face like a flint, is really just a figure of speech, and it was speaking of Christ and his determination to not fail. This was prophecy, but the Lord is desiring for you and me to be the same, to set our face as a flint to my heavenly goal, that I will not fail the grace of God, that I will not go back, I will not detour, I will not turn to the left or the right. So this is where you and I need determination and steadfastness, that we are setting our face as a flint to our heavenly goal. We have not reached it yet, but we are headed that way, thank the Lord. And God is calling for you and me to set our face heavenward. Thank the Lord. So our title is The Great Contest of Prayer. Prayer is a weapon of warfare that is not carnal, but is mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It takes prayer. All prayer. It takes supplicating prayer. It takes interceding prayer. It's just simply something that you and I will have to do if we make heaven. You cannot cast aside prayer. You cannot diminish the need for prayer. You cannot allow anything to hinder you in your prayer. Prayer is vital. It is vital to God, and it is vital to your success, to my success. Prayer is very important. There is one concern of Satan, and it is that he would keep God's people from praying. That's his purpose. He knows that if he can keep you and me from seeking God and praying earnestly and the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous that availeth much, he knows that he is winning. Satan has no fear of people that don't pray, but he fears people that pray. There's little sayings that says, he laughs at our toil, he mocks at our words, but he trembles when we pray. So he is an opposer of prayer this morning, of your prayer life. If you diminish in your prayer, he will take advantage. He will hinder you in your victory. He will hinder you in your progress. He will hinder you in your faith. A number of years ago, I read this, that there was a poll taken of how many Americans prayed. At that time, it said that 90% of Americans were praying. That sounded pretty good until you finished the poll. They prayed 5 minutes a week and counted that prayer. You and I must not compare ourselves among ourselves. We mustn't ever think that 5 minutes a day is enough, much less 5 minutes a week. People that think that 5 minutes a week is enough is deceived. We need to pray every day. We need to pray without ceasing. Men ought always to pray. Prayer is so important in my constant life. You can pray wherever you go. You don't have to be on your knees to pray. We have another scripture in Matthew, the 6th chapter, and verses 5 and 6. A very familiar place here. It was Jesus speaking, and it said, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. Wouldn't you sort of say that if 90% of the American people claimed to pray and it was only 5 minutes a week, don't you think that that would lend to hypocrisy? So he's saying here, don't pray like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of them. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So their reward is the praise of men, lifting them up. Oh, look, this person is praying. And then verse 6 says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And when thou pray, when ye pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask. And yet he says, come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. He tells us to make our requests known unto God. And I believe that He is hearing our prayers. I believe according to our testimonies, God is answering our prayers. I believe that He is glad to hear His children pray. It's a great privilege for us to pray to the Almighty God. When you think of His greatness, maybe you would be tempted not to come boldly to the throne of grace. He doesn't want us to fear coming before Him. He wants us to come before Him acknowledging who He is. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. And He will give His undivided attention to you and me. Excuse me. So I want to speak a little bit about the hindering causes that the enemy tries to affect you and me. Satan is the one that will distract us. And I know that we all have experienced mornings that we get up and immediately we get so busy we forget to take time to pray. The devil wants us to forget to take time to pray. He wants to distract you and me from our prayer life. And his number one purpose is the cares of life. Our cares of life or the busyness of life affects you and me to the point that we sometimes get up into the day and we haven't prayed. There is a writer from 1779, and he wrote an article called What Various Hindrances We Meet. I'm going to give you just one verse. Restraining prayer, we cease to fight. Prayer makes the Christian's armor bright, and Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Sometimes we may feel that we are weak. Sometimes we may feel as though we can't pray. Maybe the burden is so great we don't know how to deliver our own burden. And yet God says, I want you to pray. I want you to call upon me. I want you to come to me and make your request known. I will help you. Thank the Lord. He has help for all of us today. There is a scripture in Hosea, the 14th chapter. Verse 2. And it says, take with you words and turn to the Lord. When you feel weak, you know what your burden is. When you feel like your faith is low, don't stop praying. When you feel like that, it's just words. When I come before the Lord, it seems like I'm just saying words. That's what it says for us to do. It says, take with you words and turn to the Lord and say unto Him, what do you need to say to the Lord? What is your burden? What is your care? Do you need to say, Lord, teach me how to pray? Do you need to say, Lord, help me to want to pray? Those are words. Say the words unto Him. Take with you words. What is the cry of your heart? God knows it. He understands it. He knows how to lift your burdens. He knows how to fight your battles. He knows how to give you the victory. He is able, but it takes prayer. It takes communing with God. It's telling Him all of your troubles. He will hear and He will answer your prayer. Another one is in Isaiah, the 41st chapter. And we're going to look at verse 21. And then it says, produce your cause or produce your case. Go before the Lord and do it with determination and do it with steadfastness. No matter what your feelings are, remember the scripture says we walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. We're not walking by feelings. Go before the Lord whether you feel like it or not. And take with you words, but also produce your cause. Produce your case before the Lord and say to the Lord, bring forth your strong reasons. Bringing forth your strong reasons. Have you got some reasons for going before the Lord? For crying out to Him, your needs? He knows your needs. And yet He wants us to express those needs. He wants us to unburden our soul. And it does something for us when we leave our burdens at His feet. Thank the Lord. So it says, bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. The Lord is saying for you and me to not only come with words, but to also bring our strong case, our strong reasons before the Lord. Come, another scripture says, come and let us, He said, come and let us reason together, saith the Lord. God is a reasonable God. Not that you reason Him out of anything, but you come and commune with Him and you present those words and you present your strong case and you tell Him how you feel and you tell Him of your cares and your tears and your burdens and your disappointments, and He hears those. And He will help us. He will help us. Thank the Lord. Then our final scripture is in Philippians, the 4th chapter, and verses 6 and 8. Just a little thought this morning of having a determination to pray, whether we feel like it or not, to know that He will hear our prayers. Philippians 4 and 6 through 8. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Very familiar scripture. We just need to be reminded. When we go before the Lord, we need to think about all that the Lord has done for us. All of the times that He has heard prayer, that He has answered prayer, that He has touched your body, that He has protected you, that He has answered prayer, supplied your needs. He said He would supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. Do you count Him a rich God? Do you have need? Do you have need of anything, or has He supplied your needs? Has He proven Himself to you? So we're careful for nothing in that we're not going to allow the cares of our life and the disappointments of life or whatever is affecting our life, we're not going to let it make us have cares. And everything by prayer and supplication. Do it with thanksgiving. Thank the Lord. And then it says, and the peace of God which passeth understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Lord, help us today that we will be renewed in our determination, in our resolve that I'm going to make it through no matter what. And I'm not going to allow the enemy to distract me, or I'm not going to allow the enemy to discourage me. He has many ways of trying to get the people of God to not have faith and confidence in prayer. Pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray when you don't feel like praying. Continue to pray and seek God, and He will help you. Someone sent me a little text this morning, something that I have said to others. Say to the righteous, it will be well with thee. Say to the righteous, God will help you. He will hear your prayers. He is a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. And He requires us to pray. That's the way He wants to hear from us. He speaks to us through His word. He speaks to us in our hearts through inspiration. But He also wants a communication on our part. Take everything to the Lord in prayer. Nothing is too small. Nothing is too great that we cannot take it to the Lord in prayer. Thank the Lord. So there are many great and there are many contesting things to prayer. Great, there is a great contest to you and me praying today. And it will probably become even more so. And we will have to press against it. We will have to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. We will have to press in our flesh. We will have to press in our feelings. We will have to press in our minds. Many times you get down to pray, and what happens? Sometimes I need to be doing this. I need to call this person. I need to do, you know, it's good to have just a piece of paper there and write it down and go on praying. Keep your mind focused on your prayers that you're not distracted. The enemy is trying to distract us all. God will help us to overcome where the enemy is trying to distract us. Thank the Lord. You pray for me. I really am needing the help of the Lord. We all need to pray for one another. There's much to pray for. Much to pray for. We need to pray for our loved ones. We need to pray for the lost. We need to pray for the church. We need to pray for our congregation. We need to pray. Oh, some people get to feeling overloaded when it comes to prayer. Don't be overloaded. The more that you're able to commune with the Lord, delivering your soul before the Lord, it becomes sweeter. To hear Him commune with you is a sweet response to our prayers. Thank the Lord. Pray for me.